I'm glad to be back and with cool weather.
Oh, yes, it is chilly outside. You're in a nice cardigan. Mm-hmm. I'm in a nice cardigan. Hopefully you at home are in a nice cardigan, too.
Well, I don't know. When this comes out on Monday, is it still going to be the resurgence of summer-ish
weather? Questionable. Hopefully it is wherever you're at, dear listener.
Speaking of dear listeners, I ran into someone in the parking lot at Greek House Wednesday, mm-hmm. Connie, and she said, I listen to the podcast all the time.
Oh,
thanks, Connie.
Yeah, I hadn't seen her in like
a year. And I didn't know. We don't know who listens mm-hmm. unless you tell us that you listen.
Yeah.
So, if you're listening to this, we appreciate you. All right. Are we done with the small talk?
I think so. Okay. I need to go get my hot beverage.
No, I brought it in.
Oh,
it's on the...
Oh, it's on... Okay, hang on. I need to get up and get it.
Also, is she just chewing on a box or... Yeah. Okay. We have lots of boxes of sweatshirts in here and Pip is just chewing on the box of one. As she's known to do. Speaking of, I mean, we have sweatshirts, so those are available for purchase. What else is available for purchase while Madison is getting ready? Fabric. Obviously, glasses. Gift cards.
Coloring books.
Oh, coloring books. How could I forget?
Yeah, good stuff.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today, on episode 90, we're going to be talking about celebrating our creative wins.
I thought you were going to sing, celebrate good times. Come on.
I mean, I was going to, but that was going to be
really?
For later. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely.
I thought it would be the name of the podcast.
That's
the name of the episode.
Oh, celebrate good times?
Mm-hmm. Come on. With that.
With come on at the end. Yes. So we're talking about celebrating. Why, Joe? Why are we talking about celebrating?
We're talking about celebrating because mere days ago.
Mere days ago. Man, I'm in a giggly mood. Okay.
We had Make Do's fourth annual, because we missed two annuals, fourth annual fundraiser, also called Lemonade. And I think it was our best one we've ever done.
It was a lovely evening.
It was your second one to be involved in.
One that I was actually deeply involved in.
But the first one, you just came because I said, hey, would you like to come?
Yes.
And you did. You had only been, let's see, that probably would have been November. And so you would have only been here like a couple months.
Yes. And like I did some merch and things like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I wore a big old lemon dress.
Mm-hmm. And I wore my lemon dress.
Yeah.
This time, neither of us wore lemon dresses.
No. That was a big to-do where we were like, what are we going to wear?
The dress code for this one was artistic casual because...
Which, yeah, I was going to say, what does that mean, Joe? What do you think?
I told people that it meant something that you feel comfortable in and don't mind if it maybe gets paint on it. Because we had a creative experience that went along with it. We've struggled. I think lemonade has always been good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been a success. And I've always been happy with it when it was over. But this was the first time that I thought this hit it on the head, like what Make Do is. It like if there was going to be a fundraiser mm-hmm. for Make Do, this was it. I think the way that we did it and all of that.
Absolutely. Just the way that like we basically gave people a little piece of what it's like to be at Make Do.
Yes. And then we used that experience to tell stories from Make Do. It was fantastic. We're going to have a virtual one.
Ooh.
So if by the time this episode comes out, all of those details are ready, there will be a link in the show notes.
Yes.
But I mean, I'm not promising.
Yeah.
But however, if you see a link in the show notes for a virtual lemonade, that's what it's for.
Yeah. It was quite fun, so come join us if you can.
Yes, it was amazing. So, coming off of that high, I thought it would be an appropriate time to talk about celebrating success, celebrating, you call them creative, what did you say?
I call them creative wins.
Creative wins. So, but you know, we don't limit things just to like, hey, I finished a painting.
Yes.
Like, that can be a bigger... Like lemonade was a creative win.
Yeah. It can be a broader scope. Yeah. It can be something at work or wherever it may be.
I don't know that I've ever written so many notes.
Holy cow. Yeah.
I mean, you know that I usually don't fill up my pages.
Yeah. Normally, I'm the one pager. Sometimes I go into one and a half pages.
Oh, well, that's not true. So I'm flipping back and some of them. I do have quite a few notes. But apparently, I had a lot to say about this.
Perfect.
Pip is going around to all of the boxes and just chewing on each one a little bit.
Specifically on the corners of like the flaps of the boxes. She's making sure that they're safe.
Right. No rough edges. Yeah. No sharp edges here at the studio.
Yeah. No sharp corners.
Okay, what I did not do well is kind of organize these thoughts.
Well, I was thinking I wanted to, you know, ask about some like personal creative wins.
Okay.
Before we like hop into maybe why we should celebrate and why we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you go first.
Okay. So, I mean, recently I had the creative win, if you've been listening, about the striped dress. That was giving clown, but is now no longer giving clown.
Oh, yes.
And I wore it to lemonade.
Also, giving clown sounds like something maybe you shouldn't say. I don't know what it means, but Urban Dictionary probably has a definition.
You know, like today with my cardigan, I'm giving teacher. Like,
Yes, it's the vibe you're putting off. I did tell her that she looks like Anne Shirley.
Yes.
Who was a teacher.
There you go. So yeah, personally, striped dress, creative win, to the point where I felt good enough in it to show it off to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I've been excited about that. Recently, it's been like things that I have had like a little bit more control over, like my house. I bought a house last year and I have gallery walls up and it feels like a creative win because I sit down in my living room and I'm like, this is a space that I actually want to be in. And I also feel that way about my hair because I get to change it in all different colors and it just feels comfortable to wear this hair.
And the current colors are really good for fall.
Yes. It's so exciting to get to match all that. So those are some of my recent creative wins.
Mine is lemonade, obviously.
Yeah.
Also, I have been very proud of mine are all work related. Well, all but one. I have been very proud of the emails we've been sending out lately. So coming into like the end of the year and giving season and all of that, we're kind of prepping our email list by sharing, you know, stories about Make Do, why we exist, why the lemons, our origin story, all of that. If you're not on our newsletter, I will also put a link for that if you want to sign up for, get those emails. But, I've been really proud of those.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm working on a mural that I'm going to paint in my house. And I think I'm getting close to like what I want it to look like. Mm-hmm. I've been working on it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I might be getting close to feeling like attempting it.
Oh, my goodness. Your shoulder is feeling?
I think so. I think I'll be able to like use a ladder, not have to reach over. I think as long as I can keep from reaching overhead, I'll be good.
Okay.
But like I put down Cove rubber base in our bathroom. So that's like the baseboards that, well, are made out of rubber that you see in commercial
buildings.
But I installed that in the bathroom and I was fine.
It looks so sharp.
My shoulder did fine doing that. So I think I can paint a mural. I can't paint for 12 hours a day.
No.
But if it's in my house, I can just kind of take my time with it. So I'm excited.
Even with Pip, having her around.
Oh, yeah. I'm always doing DIY stuff at my house, right? So she's like totally unfazed by the DIY.
Perfect.
Like reciprocating saws, sanding. She doesn't mind the loud noises. Because I've been doing it with her since I brought her home. So
okay.
She's fine.
Yeah. You know, talking about work wins, it makes me think about, I'm really proud that we've had so many boys come through Make Do. Mm. And it just, I mean, it's a goal that I'm continuing to have and I will have to work at. But sometimes it's a shot in the dark figuring out what kids want.
I feel like your Mondays with Madison class is like half boys.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's Yeah, that definitely feels like a creative win, not just for like my creative endeavor, but also like creativity as a whole. I'm like, yes,
yeah,
I'm bringing these boys into the fold.
I felt the same way with the men who showed up for Lemonade. It was mostly women. Mm-hmm. So we sold out. There was 59 people ended up being there.
Yeah.
And of those 59 people, we maybe had 10 men.
Mm-hmm.
8 to 10. So that's pretty good odds, I guess. Yeah. 10 out of 6.
And they all did a really good job participating.
I mean, 10 out of 60. 1/6.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Not too shabby.
No, it was very good. Okay. Can we talk about why this is hard?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I just have lots of random things.
We always are wanting to move on to the next thing. Mm. And that definitely has a place here in Make Do. We're like, great, Lemonade was awesome. Now we got to think about the holiday season. Now we need to think about the classes for next year. And we don't take the time to just slow down.
Right. That was one of the things that I had thought about too, as well as kind of a yes and to that, is that doing the actual thing, so in this case, Lemonade, is so exhausting in itself that we don't, not only do we not take the time, but we don't take the energy to celebrate. Because mm-hmm. also, like, I was going to take Wednesday off, mm-hmm. and I didn't. Like, mm-hmm. and I still feel like there's so many things to do just to wrap up Lemonade. And, like, we have to have the studio ready for Christmas open house in, like, 2 weeks. So, it, again, is just next thing, next thing, next thing, and we don't schedule the time.
Yeah. Either. I think this is something that can hit people when they're very creative with their work. Like they've made something great and your boss is like, yeah, that's awesome. Pat on the back and then move on. And so you also move on like, all right, to the next thing. And I think the problem with that is you start to lose value in like the creativity that you're actually putting mm-hmm. in. Because you're like, oh, well, this is what's expected. We just need to move on. You're not like taking the time to enjoy it and celebrate an accomplishment.
Do you feel that way here?
Oh, yeah. There's times where I feel like that.
Yeah, like where you do something and I'm like, that's great. Do something great again.
Okay, it's not specifically like not you necessarily as a boss, but it's just the general nature of what
work.
We do.
Yeah.
Perhaps your work is slower. I doubt it, dear listener, that your work is slower. But if it's fast-paced like us, yeah, it just feels like, okay, that was good. Now you have to go and do it again.
And you have to, okay, so I thought about this in, like, the sense of, we always talk about having a fear of failure,
mm-hmm.
but is it possible that our fear of failure is actually a fear of success?
Sometimes it can be. The first thought that comes to my mind is that if you have succeeded once, you have to succeed again and again.
And I think that's what connects it for me to what you're saying is, I did this really well. Now this becomes the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just keeps raising the bar higher and higher and higher, and that doesn't feel sustainable.
Yes. So this is a little tangential, but I just looked at an article or two about quiet quitting,
uh-huh.
which is, if you're not familiar with the term, it's where you do not quit your job, but at work you only do what is required of you. And this typically happens in larger corporations where if you want to move up, you're asked to go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And if you do go above and beyond and you get a pat on the back, maybe you don't, it's just what's expected, you then start to feel undervalued and then you just stop doing above and beyond and you mm-hmm. just kind of stay where you're at, hence quiet quitting. So perhaps celebrating your creative wins will keep you from kind of like losing faith in your job, perhaps.
Also, I think even the way that our education system is set up prepares us to always to have such high expectations, and it's capitalism, right? Like it is other people getting the best of us without us receiving any sort of recognition mm-hmm. for that. And it's an expectation, like the expectation becomes that you're giving 110% instead of wait a minute, this is just my work.
Yes.
This isn't everything.
If you know, if y'all know a little something about the education system, then you already know that our education system is sort of based kind of like a factory where you have a set group of raw materials. You've got kindergartners, and they go through this process throughout the years, and they go step by step until eventually you end up with a finished product. And it's very standardized, and it's very much about, you know, output. You know, what grades, how can we measure how well these kids are doing? People aren't really like that. If you've actually met a person, they, you know, they may not give 100%, 110% all the time.
Also, it's not even possible.
Yes. So even if they're giving like 90% and that's what you quote expect of them, they're going to have bad days where they don't give that. And in a factory model, there's not a lot of room for outliers or for variance in, like, you know, the raw material. Either that gets filtered out or it gets refined down enough that it becomes cookie cutter. Now I love teaching and I love being in schools. However, that sort of standardization, that expectation of kids can really grind them down.
It's interesting because I wasn't even thinking about it from that perspective. I was thinking about it more like from grades and mm-hmm. how we work. So in Ireland, when I lived in Ireland, I went to basically college there. And their grading system is so different than ours. Hmm. So the way that they explained it to me is like in America, we start from 100 and then you get points deducted.
Yes.
And so like a 90 and up, you know, you can make 100. Or if you write a paper and you, you know, you have an idea of what grade you want to get on that paper. Well, in Ireland, they don't grade that way at all. And it's more like they start at around, well, you more like start at zero mm-hmm. and work up. Mm-hmm. So a good grade is like a 70. That's mm-hmm. kind of would be the equivalent of an A. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. But they still have tests. So you can still make 100%. But the whole way that they grade it is different. But I'm kind of wonder if it actually is better because that lower number is more realistic.
Yes. Because if you're giving 100% to something, mm-hmm. at the end of that, you have nothing left for anything else.
Right. So if in your job, when you are getting, this is like way a conversation I almost didn't think we were going to have, but if your evaluation is like meets expectations, exceeds expectations.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, honestly, if I'm meeting your expectations, then I'm doing my job.
Exactly.
But there's the actual expectation is that you exceed.
Yes. So perhaps a way to fight this is, you get to choose when to celebrate those wins. Mm-hmm. Your employer, your whoever may not recognize what you're doing as good, but you may recognize it as a win.
And I guess if you're listening and you are an employer,
consider this.
Then, yeah. Okay. I wonder if goals, I've actually kind of stopped making goals. Uh-huh. But of course for Lemonade, we had goals. Like we had a fundraising goal. We had a certain number of tickets. Obviously we wanted to sell out. But I wonder if those goals, and then I always have a secret goal.
Yes.
Actually harms my perception of something being a success.
Because if you don't meet that goal.
Yes. Then it was a failure.
Yeah. Rather than perhaps it being a sliding scale.
Or that success, a lot of the things that determine if I reach a certain goal or not are out of my control. Mm-hmm. The fact of do we sell out of tickets, that is not something I can control. I can promote it. I can invite people. We can follow up. But I can't actually make people purchase tickets. Mm-hmm. If we meet our fundraising goal for the event, we haven't met it yet. Mm-hmm. I think that we might. But if we don't, does that all of a sudden mean that the event was not successful or that it wasn't like worth, an achievement worth celebrating.
Yeah.
No, it really doesn't change anything.
Because those people who, you know, contributed, who wanted to be, you know, partners with Make Do would say, no, it's totally a win.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been able to raise, you know, this much money.
But also, it even as a fundraising event, is the success of it, is the only metric that we're using how much money did we raise. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think we just don't have reasonable metrics, or we're not looking at all of the things that could qualify something as being a win.
Yeah. So our definition of a win is too small.
Yes. Or too narrow. Mm. Or maybe too big.
Mm.
I think it's more the narrow.
It's
too single focused.
Yes. The big makes me think of, like, it needs to be spectacular in order for it to be a win. It needs to be out of this world.
Right. I think that, to use lemonade as an example, aside from fundraising, what else made it a success? I mean, yes, we sold out. That made it feel successful. People engaged with the creative experience that we were doing. Mm-hmm. The food was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was out of our control.
Mm-hmm. People seemed to actually enjoy themselves.
Yes. We told Make Do's stories really well. Mm-hmm. So all of those things, like, I think people left with a better understanding of what Make Do is and what we do. And so that is successful. And that has zero to do with how much money we raised.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right. I think another reason why we don't celebrate our wins is because sometimes it can feel like you are being prideful. Mm-hmm. That you're like, oh, well, why are you taking the time for yourself to, you know, celebrate that? Shouldn't you just, like, kind of be humble about it and, like, oh, it was nothing, and then just move on? I don't think that's that's not really humility in my eyes. I think it's just a lack of, you know, I think it's like you talked about earlier, a lack of wanting to put in the energy to celebrate it.
I think also women are not taught that are the things that we do, especially outside of the home and rearing children and making dinner every night, we're not taught that those things matter or that they're important or that we should want them.
Mm-hmm.
There is Abby Wambach. Is a soccer player for the U.S. team.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
She's retired, but
yeah.
She, I think that it was her who was talking about this. Like, she had the most goals scored, maybe of anybody that mm-hmm. played soccer. And then someone, like, beat her.
Mm-hmm.
And so just talking about how that should be celebrated, but we are always downplaying our achievements. Primarily, women are not, like, celebrated in the same way that men are for doing similarly spectacular things. Now, if you're the first woman to do something, it's a big deal because you're the first. But then after that, there's, you know, we kind of don't take room to, we don't make room for the achievements of women.
You know, there's some parts of me that think about, like, how much we praise men when they do a really good job of, like, doing typical, like, women things.
Mm-hmm.
like, oh, he's such a good dad. He plays with his kids or he cooks dinner. And we don't praise women for that.
Right. Because it's just becomes an expectation of women. But then if you tried to find something to that would be the reverse.
So, like, a woman who is an excellent CEO or
right.
just, like, a woman who has, you know, discovered something in science or is an excellent engineer, that's not typically something we hear about.
No.
Or if we do, it's like, oh, this woman did so, it just...
Or what are the things in a woman's life that we do celebrate? Getting engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Having a baby.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that, like, a lot of that is not, like, exclusively for the woman. It is celebrated.
But it is what, like, I have not gotten any of those things, and I still need it. Like, I still...
You need pots and pans.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, being someone who has gone through some of that, like, and even Richard will say things like, well, you know, a lot of our registry stuff was for you. And I was like, it was stuff for us to live.
Right.
Like, it's not like, oh, I got a new serger. No, I got stuff so we could eat.
So that you could cook the dinners.
Yeah, so that I could cook and then you could eat them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of your gift too. But I understand what you're saying, that those are the things that, those are the highlights that get put on Instagram and Facebook.
Right.
And maybe we should be filling up our Facebook with more.
Well, we should. And I think that goes back to what Abby Wambach was talking about. Like, no one is going to know to celebrate you if you aren't boldly saying the good things that you're doing.
And if you're trying to be humble and cool about it, ain't nobody going to know.
So, like, in the same way that if you get engaged, you take that picture with your ring. You know, that iconic, like, you're blurry, but the ring is in focus. And you post that on Facebook and everyone loves it and congratulations. Why can't we do that with other things?
Yeah.
Or, you know, your sonogram picture.
Yeah.
And then there are so many other things to celebrate, too.
I mean, we took a picture the night, like, after everything was said and done, because it was worth celebrating. Uh-huh. It, even though some things, like all big productions, there's a lot of mess ups that happen on the front end. It went off really well.
Mm-hmm.
No hitches.
Nope.
It was good.
So
yeah, to sum that up, we choose not to celebrate because we don't, either we don't think it's a big deal or we think it's not a big enough deal worthy of tooting our own horn, if you will.
Right. And because a lot of times we're comparing it to somebody else too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, okay, we sold out, but it was only 60 tickets. It's not like we sold out 350 tickets to a huge gala.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to, like, downplay it.
Exactly. So, man, there's a lot of work on you to, you know, pick up and celebrate your own creative wins.
Another thought I have is that if we can hyper-focus on every tiny way we're failing, then we should, at minimum, be able to moderately celebrate success.
It's so true. How many times were we like, oh, I told the waiter, you too, after they said, you know, enjoy your meal. And we're like, oh, that was so cringy. But then we don't give ourselves a pat on the back when we give an excellent presentation.
Right.
I know that our human brains, like, want to focus on the failures so that we can then learn from them and do better, but also give your brain a break and, like, celebrate the fact that you just, you know, gave that presentation without a hitch.
Or even if there were hitches in it. So?
Yeah.
Because, like, also perfection doesn't exist.
Sure. So, like, did the thing that you do meet the goals that you want it to? Great. It's a win.
And that goes back to, were your goals even the correct goals to have?
Yeah. Man, so much of this can, like, be brought back to kind of like the front end, how we're thinking about our creative process.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need to fix that, you can go back and listen to any of our previous podcasts. Yeah, a lot of the work, I guess, is done on the front end.
Yeah.
So that when you get to the end, you can, like, oh, yeah, I feel good about this. I want to celebrate.
And we are constantly aware of the stories that are happening within Make Do, right? Because we have to be able to tell those stories so that we can get support for the work that we do. And that puts us at an advantage, really, because we're always, like, looking for, I'm not even going to call them success stories, but just hearing the experience of our participants and letting that soak in. So that is built into our work that maybe other people don't have that luxury, you know?
Mm-hmm. We get to actually hear from people and we need to hear from people how we are enriching their lives so that then we can pass that on to people who are helping us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Something else that I just thought about why we don't do this is because we don't want to celebrate what we think we already are supposed to be doing.
Right. Like when the captain lands a plane and everyone claps and then you're like, why are we clapping? Like, didn't you expect that we would land the plane.
Because the alternative is
that we're dead.
Not so good.
Right.
So, like, when I finished, maybe it was the gallery wall, or maybe when I finished painting something.
Oh, at your house?
At my house. I was like, I'm going to go get myself a kombucha. And, like, I already spent money on the paint, and, like, I had spent a lot of time. So, like, shouldn't the job well done be enough of a reward? And the answer is no. I was tired, and I wanted to reward myself with just something to celebrate. I did an excellent job painting. My house looks better for it. I'm going to go celebrate by doing something that I love to do, getting a kombucha.
Uh-huh.
And, like, why is that so crazy?
Right.
That we're celebrating things that, you know, maybe doesn't seem productive monetarily, but was productive for our mental health.
And why does it have to be productive at all?
Exactly. Like, what if it's just a win because it is a win, and so you're going to go do your own little version of celebrating?
Yeah. I was really proud of finishing the bathroom.
It was really good. Which I want to circle back around to that when we do, like, the little tips and takeaways and whatnot. So
I think that's all of my random thoughts. Do you have more?
Well, I want to talk about why we should. Because we talked about why we don't.
That was a different.
Okay.
Excellent. I have thoughts on that.
Excellent.
But that was my random. That's a different category.
Perfect.
I do have thoughts on why it's important.
Okay. Do you want to share one?
Sure. I think it's important for momentum. So, and maybe two of these go together. So I also have avoid burnout. I think that I can talk about them at the same time. Because I love working, one, and I love my job, specifically what we do here, it's really easy for me to, like, overwork without realizing it, and then it's exhausting, and then that puts you into a whole spiral. And a lot of what we do is hard in the sense that the success of it is not up to us. It's up to other people.
Mm-hmm. We have to, like, prime the pump. We have to, as my math teacher used to put it, she's like the quarterback, and she's like, I can throw the ball the best I can. I think I'm doing this analogy right. I can throw the ball the best I can, but someone has to be there to catch it and have enough skill to catch it.
Yeah. So we have to, you know, make sure we're still throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And that we're communicating with where we're going to be throwing the ball.
Yes.
Like, there is still a lot that falls on us.
Oh, no.
There's also a lot that's out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I can see the payoff that my hard work is having, then it gives me the momentum to keep doing it.
Yeah, it gives your brain that little treat of, what is it, like serotonin, when you're like, oh, yes, or dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, oh, yes, I had a win. Okay, now I can keep doing it because I want to feel that feeling again.
Yes, and so then that relates to burnout because it is like that little win is replenishing my energy so that otherwise I'm always like using it up, and then that's when you burn out.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of celebration, when I think of a general celebration, I usually think of a party where there's like people and food, good music, and people are having a good time. That might not be your form of celebration. Perhaps your form of celebration is like taking a break and going to like getting to be in your house and just, you know, like you were talking about taking a day off on Wednesday where, you know, if you had done that, you had just done what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Because I think part of celebrating is also like a replenishing that happens so that you don't get burnout.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your celebrating doesn't look like, you know, food and lots of people. Maybe it looks like getting to draw on your tablet at home and work on your mural. So just a thought I had as you were talking about that. So I think we should celebrate because it gives us time to slow down and like enjoy the moment.
Right.
And really just like you were saying, soak it in so that we can have that momentum. Because we're trying to fight against the, okay, now we need to move on to the next thing and do just as well there, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
We need to slow down and enjoy it so that we know the next time that we go above and beyond or even just do what needs to be done, we know that at the end of that, there's going to be a time of rest or replenishment or celebration, if you will. So
Yeah. I think it gives us good perspective. I think that's why it's important to celebrate, because it helps us see that what we're doing is valuable. We are good at it. So even if it's specifically something creative, like you finish a quilt. Oh my gosh, look, you had perseverance. You stuck it out. You finished this thing. You got frustrated and you didn't let that derail you. So I think it gives us a good perspective for the parts of being human that actually matter. The grade you get on a test, typically not so much one of those things that has a lasting impact on your value. And so taking time to be proud of yourself and to celebrate your success or your wins or whatever you want to call them helps maybe reframe your perspective of where you fit in with everybody else.
I like that. I was a little distracted because I had a separate thought that was
circling
my brain.
What's your other thought?
I think it kind of nests with some of the things that you were saying, that it gives us a time of reflection to think about what we did well.
Mm-hmm.
I think about times like when, maybe it was after the make-do birthday party, that we kind of had like a casual meeting with the board members of make-do. I can't remember if it was right after the make-do birthday party, if it was like after an event. And we were all having a good time, but we also had an opportunity to think about, well, what made this good?
Mm.
And, you know, there was a time to think about what we could have improved on,
mm-hmm.
but we took the time to just like, all right, this is what worked. This is what we want to do again.
Mm-hmm.
And having time to celebrate and talk about that and just focus on the positive felt really nice. Because a lot of times when creative things or making things is your job, you're thinking about, okay, what can I do better? But what did I mess up on? And how does that translate into what I need to do next? It's just nice to be like, yeah, we did a real good job on that craft at Lemonade. And just like simmer in that.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
It's good too to make note of those things, because you will not remember. Like, I know that this time next year, when it's time to do Lemonade again, if we don't take the time to write down both, like the ways we could have improved, but also the things that went really well and that we're proud of and that we want to replicate, if mm-hmm. we don't name them, we will forget them.
Yeah, we take them for granted. We think they'll just happen again. Mm-hmm.
Or we're downplaying that they were an achievement and that they were something that happened because of what we did.
All of what we did for Lemonade and what you do when you make something is it's the summation of a lot of different mm-hmm. choices. So it's important to remember what choices were the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to a restaurant and you're like, man, I can't remember what I got last time that was so good? It's real frustrating, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
I know you get pretty much the same thing every time, but
a lot of places.
Yeah.
Well, because I know that I will like it.
And that's good. You remember that good choice. I could learn from that.
But you just said you can't remember what you got that was so good. Is it because you want it again or because you don't want to get it again so you can try something different?
I don't know.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I definitely deal with more of like the negative side of that sometimes, where I'm like, oh, you know what sounds really good right now? This. And then I go and get it. I'm like, oh, I remember why I don't want to eat this anymore.
Yeah.
And I just forget.
That's how I feel about delivery pizza.
Yeah, you're like, it sounds like such a good idea.
Yeah.
And then it's
And then I'm like, frozen pizza would have been just as good, or I want like good pizza. Like in the restaurant pizza.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Those are my thoughts on
same. I'm done.
Perfect. So do you have anything to leave our dear listeners with?
Yes, I have some tips on how to celebrate success.
Excellent. Hit me with one.
Okay. My first one is, so I'm going to call it a non-scale victory. This is what in like weight loss or fitness journey, I don't want to say weight loss, but like fitness journey, a lot of times if you start actually lifting weights and you've never lifted weights before, you're going to be building muscle, which weighs more than fat, which means the number on the scale is going to go up.
Oh.
So like only looking at the scale as a metric for your health is not a helpful measure, because losing weight, one, you may not lose weight, but you're still getting healthier.
Yes.
Also, you could be losing weight as a sign of like not being healthy.
Oh, that is so true.
So there are a jargon in that kind of group is a non-scale victory.
Oh, okay. So scale as in like weight, like measuring weight.
The number on the scale. Yeah. So a non-scale victory might be that your pants are fitting better, or it might be I was able to reach back and grab my seatbelt, you know, like I'm getting more flexibility. Or so it's just getting you back to that idea I was saying before on why it's important and perspective. Like it's getting you to take a broader look at your overall health. So yes. I think that we can do the same type of thing outside of health and fitness. For example, the fundraiser. If the scale is how much money did we raise?
Yes.
That's the number. Well, we can have non-scale victories for the fundraiser too that have absolutely nothing to do with anything that we're measuring.
Yes.
So that is my first tip, is to if you're writing down goals, then at least have some of those goals that can count under that category of like non-scale victory.
Yes.
Or at a minimum, be looking for them.
Yes. So this, I want to take that idea and I want to bring it over into the actual celebration part. Mm-hmm. I'm a person that does like a good party. Don't get me wrong. But I know that there's other people that is not their jam. And like the idea of, oh, I got this new job. I don't really want to go out and celebrate with a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. I want to insert whatever way that you want to take care of yourself or treat yourself. Maybe it is with food, but maybe it's with giving yourself a quiet evening to be able to read, or just something that brings you joy. So don't limit your celebration to just what you think celebrating should look like. I really do think it is supposed to be a time of like getting to either connect or refresh yourself. And so there's a smorgasbord of celebrations that you can pick for yourself. Maybe you need to go buy, you know, a new sweater for your job that you got, or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Or a kombucha because you finished painting your room.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You also can treat yourself apart from success.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's self-care.
We've talked about self-care, but I just want to say, like, this sounds very like celebrating productivity, like it can lean into that we, our value comes from our productivity. So I just want to say also a lot of this is disconnected from that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say if you're having trouble, maybe if you downplay your achievements or you're having trouble recognizing your own success, believe other people when they compliment you or they give you a job well done.
But Joe, that's so hard. Don't people just say things to be nice instead of not meaning it?
Some people. But also, some people just wouldn't say anything at all.
That's true.
Like, if I notice someone got a haircut, but I don't like it, I'm just not going to comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
One, because who cares? It's their hair.
Yeah.
If, like, I don't comment on people's babies because I don't care. I know it was a really big deal that you birthed a child.
Yes.
But I don't like babies. When that kid is 13, I will care about them.
This makes me think, I made a pie as a thank you for someone, and like 15 minutes after I dropped off the pie, they texted me back and said, this might be one of the best pies I've ever had. And my sick little mind was like, oh, they're just saying that. And then I had to think, wait, they could have just not texted me.
Or they could have just said thank you.
Yeah, they could have just said thank you. But no, they chose to say this instead. So believe people when they take the time to give you a compliment.
And so what if they're lying? Honestly, like, does it really change the fact that it was an achievement? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's our tendency to obsess about failure and to minimize our achievements. And so then that's why it even occurs that that is our first thought when someone tells us something good.
Yes.
Also, only we know everything that we didn't get done for the thing, yes, or that went wrong at the thing. So it's also really easy for me to think, oh, but I wanted to do this and this and this, and it would have been better. Like, this messed up, and I think that this probably ruined people's experience. Okay, so then if they tell me they had a good time at Lemonade, I wouldn't be like, yeah, but did you notice that?
Because you want them to validate what you thought about it, but in the process, you're invalidating their good time.
Or I want to say, oh, you just think this was good?
It could have been so much better.
Which that in itself is very rude. Like, for if I think about it, like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You didn't really have a good time.
I'm the one that knows that this would have made it the good time. You just thought you had one. That's crazy. That almost feels like gaslighting.
Yes, it is. But how much do we gaslight people when they are trying to tell us we're doing a good job?
Yeah. But, like, in an effort to hurt ourselves instead of them. This is why, trying to give compliments is so difficult because of that whole mess right there.
So, I feel like I've gotten so much better at this, and I 100% credit it to being so engrossed in the creative process and in walking people through the creative process. And I don't want them to talk to themselves a certain way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the quilting class, if I tell someone I love your colors, mm-hmm, I want them to believe me, right? And so why can I not do that too?
Yeah.
It's like that has made me better.
It makes me think, yesterday I was wearing a pair of bright yellow corduroy pants that I made. And we have someone who drops off vegetables for other people to pick up. And he was like, hey, I like your pants. I said, thanks, I made them. He goes, cool, keep it up. And I loved that. It was kind of silly, but I was like, oh, that was such a nice encouragement. He didn't have to say nice pants. Like, if they were truly horrible pants, he could have just like, he was under no obligation to comment on my clothes.
Well, because people all the time walk in and don't say anything about it. Like, I don't talk about people's pants unless there's something to say about them.
Yeah. So just believe.
Yep.
Okay. If you're struggling to celebrate, just go and tell someone. You don't have to post it on social media, but just like, tell someone and be proud of it. Like, whether it's a close friend or maybe it is posting it on Insta, just make sure that you're sharing that celebration with someone else. You don't have to invite them over to have a big party.
The social aspect of that brings up a whole new thing that, I mean, I guess we kind of touched on it with like engagements and all of that. Sometimes I think we don't know if we can be proud of something until we post it and other people tell us. Like, other people like it and comment. And then we're like, okay, I can be proud about this.
Yeah. But you don't have to put it on social media. Like, I had an instance, and I'll talk about this during my suite last night, where I was like, this wonderful thing happened. I'm so excited. I want to call someone and tell someone about it. I want to celebrate with them, even if it's not something that they would understand. I just want them to celebrate with me. That's what I'm telling you to do. Like, just invite someone in to your celebration, whether it's a text, phone call, maybe it's putting it on social media, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my last tip is to recognize the small wins. And this maybe goes back to the, you know, having the non-scale victories, but it's also not just the big thing. Like, it's not just, oh my gosh, we did Lemonade and it was a success. It is everything that led up to it. It's like 1,000 little things that happened at it. Like, it's not just only the big thing.
First thing that comes to mind is the cute design that you had for our birthday party. I feel like that was a win.
The birthday party.
Our McDo's birthday party. Like the little invitations that you designed.
Oh, yeah.
They were just so fun and happy. Yeah. And I was like, this is so cute. And the way we sent them out. Like,
no, that was my favorite thing about the birthday party was the little craft that we mailed in the envelope.
Oh, yeah, that too. Like that. I mean, it wasn't the party. Uh-uh. But it was just a, like, ooh. I'm so glad we came up with
that. I love the little things. And those are always what I get like the most kind of excited about. Like, oh, but did you notice this?
Yes.
Like for the fundraiser, we got text to donate.
Yes.
I'm like, but did you notice you can text?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. Man, it makes us feel so chic.
So I do like the little things I get. Even with, I mentioned earlier that I'm proud of the emails that I've been sending out.
Exactly.
But even those, now don't click on this link unless you actually want to opt out of receiving the emails. Mm. But I made a, or if you do, then send me a message. Hey, I don't really want to opt out.
I wanted to see this. Yeah,
I created a little thing at the bottom so people don't actually have to unsubscribe to our email list, but they can opt out just from getting like kind of the more frequent impact updates. And when you go to the opt out page, it's a picture of me and Madison being sad and it says, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love this.
It's very cute. Mm-hmm. Or like I think about one of my favorite things that you've done is at the end of our YouTube videos, there's like static pictures of us that just kind of dance. I love it. Yeah, it's those little things where it's like, oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are all my tips. Mm-hmm. Those are all your tips. Find something to celebrate in your life today, dear listener.
Hey, maybe I guess sometimes that is a sweet. But what are you celebrating aside from lemonade? We already kind of talked about that.
I did talk about your dress.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. We've already talked about that. Maybe we can start talking about it at the end.
Yeah.
With what we're learning or something.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your sweet?
Okay, I was going to say there's an event going on called Kilts and Coffee this weekend, and I'm super excited about that. But Joe, let me see. Back on episode 86, I was really sad because my favorite character that I dressed up as for Comic-Con, she died.
Girl, she done got resurrected.
I'm so excited. Like, I was kicking my feet. Like, when I watched it, I got to watch it with other people.
So now that that's your Halloween costume, it's even, like, better. You don't have to be sad for Halloween.
I don't have to be sad. I'm so excited and just, like, all of the emotion. I think this is what people feel like when they watch sports because they, like, you know, anything could happen. Uh-huh. It was with the roll of the dice that she came back. And so you're like, it could have not happened. So it makes it even more exciting that it did. Right. So I guess I'm trying to start to relate to those sports fans out there. I guess that's how you feel. I understand now.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why gaming is an e-sport.
Yeah, there you go. I guess I am kind of watching like televised.
Yeah.
I'm watching televised Dungeons and Dragons. So yeah, that's my sweet.
Okay, my sweet, besides lemonade, obviously.
Yeah.
Is that I finished the bathroom that had been unfinished for a long time. So the parts that were unfinished were, we had no sink hooked up for over a month, mm-hmm. probably. We had started floor. All of this was about the same because we did it when my dad came mm-hmm. during the middle of my shoulder recovery.
Yeah.
We had started the floor, but not finished it. Like mm-hmm. the hard parts were still left. And so we had a plumber come in and finish the sink because people could not figure out how to DIY it.
Yeah.
So we got that done. And then we had to finish the floor for lemonade, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then I decided, you know what will make this look really sharp is if I put baseboards back down. So we got that done. They're white and it looks so good with the mural and so good with the floor. Now, we do still need to do some work on the mural that's in there, like touch it up and kind of clean some stuff up. And I want to do something with the ceiling. But other than that,
like it's done. It looks
so
lovely.
Good.
It's a nice bathroom now.
Yay. When I went in this other one back here just before we started recording, I was like,
yeah.
Maybe I'll paint this white this weekend.
Yeah, we need to this week. I was like, sure, we'll paint it white this weekend. What? time frames.
No, I won't. I won't do it this weekend.
Good.
Okay. Good. What's your sour?
So we had really good food at Lemonade. Mm-hmm. There's no mashed potatoes left, which I know sounds very small, but
those were some good mashed potatoes.
I also...
They were sweet potatoes.
They were sweet potatoes, caramelized onions, like so good. I also mopped the floor in to do. Huh. I mean, I wouldn't say that like it was the worst thing that I had to do, but like it was empty. And so it really could use a good mopping. So that's what I did. I spent a good long time vacuuming everything, sweeping everything up, mopping. And
like you did the thing. Because when I got here, you were almost done. I was like, oh my gosh, Madison. Look at this.
Yeah. So I'm glad. I feel like very proud about that. But it was like during the time, it wasn't great.
Well, and it does smell like vinegar. So that is a little sour as well.
Yeah. A little tangy. Yeah.
Okay, let me just tell you my sour.
All right, hit me with it.
AT&T called me because they got fiber optic in our area. Mm-hmm. And they're like, switch, it's free. I'm like, seriously, it's free? Come on, there's got to be a catch.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the catch is.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you when you agree to switch that, oh, by the way, we really don't have a great way, even though we laid all of this fiber optic to get it to your house. And so they dug up my yard, and which that in itself isn't a big deal because I used to have pine trees there and I don't have grass, so it's not like they like really destroyed my grass. Yeah. But there was a brick pathway that also wasn't super flat because the people who put it down, I mean, it's old.
Yeah, yeah.
And like roots and all that have moved it around. But they just like took bricks up and left this gaping trench, like diagonal across the walkway. What? Like, I hope my postman does not trip on it because he walks right there from my neighbor's house to my house. Aww. So I took a picture of it and I'm waiting on them to like send me a... You know, they're going to send me one of those surveys.
Yeah.
Because they want me to say five.
Yeah.
Satisfaction. It is going to be zero. Look. And I'm going to send them the picture.
Here's photographic evidence. Well, that stinks. I'm sorry.
I know. I was so annoyed. They also were like, it's going to be really hard if they have to blah, blah, blah. Can we just go through your driveway? He was like, go through this crack in your driveway. So I thought they were just going to like... lay the cable like in the crack that's already in the cement.
Yeah.
No. They like cut a hole in my driveway.
Whoa.
And now it already was a little, because I do have an old house and the driveways are like everyone's already cracking and, you know, tree roots and making a mess.
Yeah, yeah.
But now there it is like the tectonic plates. I am so aggravated.
You're so salty.
Yeah, because I didn't care.
Yeah.
I would have kept my old internet. It's the same price. Who cares if it's slow?
Yeah.
I can watch my Hulu and my Apple TV just fine. I didn't need this.
Help us all. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that is my sour AT&T.
Man. All right. Let me tell you about what I'm learning.
Yes. What are you learning?
I'm making a... cozy robe for myself because it's starting to get cold outside.
My favorite.
Yes.
The cold, not your robe.
So I'm just going through the process of like, how do I work with really thick, fuzzy fabric? Mm. How do I fit this to myself?
And do you have a pattern?
I kind of drafted my own, kind of cobbled it together from other stuff. And I'm also going to have to learn how to do some applique because I'm making it out of a mid-century bedspread.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's a cotton chenille bedspread.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's tufted.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Tufted.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about it, though.
Well, what color is it?
It's baby blue.
Baby blue.
And it's got flowers on it and like in the like tufted, it's tufted flowers.
My grandma, all of her robes zipped.
Yes, up the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's very handy. Mm. I'm putting giant pockets in this because what's a robe without some giant pockets?
Pointless.
Exactly.
All right. I don't like, or I was going to say I don't like robes, but I wear like my house coat, my red big oversized sweater, house coat.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to like wear a robe tied up around me. Mm-hmm. I want just something loose and oversized and big.
Yeah.
What am I learning? Okay. Speaking of lemonade again, I am learning how to take my natural tendency of doing everything last minute. Mm-hmm. Where people are involved, because then everyone can't do everything last minute. And so Madison and I had a little debrief yesterday of what went well, what we need to change next year. Mm-hmm. Just so everyone's like on the same page working last minute, or like working on something so big. Mm-hmm. So, because I had everything in my head, but it wasn't all in Madison's head the same way it was in mine. So just so that's what I'm learning, how to work with other people.
Yeah, that's good.
So we did it, another one. Every time we record a new podcast, I'm like, we're still talking.
We still got things to talk about. Shocker.
And this is episode 90. Yes. Which means we're getting real close to episode 100.
That's so exciting. All right.
Then we can celebrate.
Absolutely.
That'll be a big win, like a big milestone, I'll say.
Oh, for sure.
That's something we didn't mention, is just the nature of celebrating milestones that aren't necessarily like an achievement or a success or something you did, but it's just like, hey, I'm still here.
Still been doing it. We're still showing up.
And we're still like making movement.
Yes. Right. Celebrating progress in whatever form it may take. Yeah. So I hope that you, dear listener, celebrate something today.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to think of something like quippy to add to that, and I didn't have anything.
Yeah, it's all good. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create, or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.